Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and to make this world a much better and much happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. Today's shows will be really out of this world with an interview with Robbie Holtz, a fantastic healer who has some very special training. She learned her very special healing techniques from the Aborigines in Australia. And she'll be on here with me in the studio momentarily during the first hour. And during the second hour, we'll have Michiko Hayashi, the Global Director and Ambassador of the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, along with Dr. Mira Anjanta, who a medical doctor who will talk about how he uses Hado machines to help people with almost any physical or spiritual condition. Dr. Masaru Emoto, before he passed away in 2014, used these Hado machines to successfully treat 10,000 people before he passed away in 2014. And actually, for those interested, these Hado machines will be demonstrated and also be for sale at my upcoming Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, from June 10th to the 12th. For those of you who don't know much about the machines themselves restore the correct vibration to one's physical and or spiritual body and can help remedy many, many, many conditions. If you'd like to see the machines and if you can't go to the conference in Olympia next month, they're always available for viewing and demonstration at the Emoto office, but you have to fly to Tokyo to see them. So this is a wonderful opportunity if you're in the area. The conference itself is on June 10, 11, and 12th, and we're having some incredibly interesting people there, including Scott Lemriel of the Say Raise Agenda, who's had face-to-face contact with benevolent advanced humans from the Galactic Alliance for the past 54 years. We're also having world-famous scientist Professor Jared Pollack, who will be giving a keynote speech on the fourth phase of water at the conference. People think there's water in liquid form, gaseous form, and, of course, solid form as ice. But there is another fourth phase of water that Professor Pollack has researched and discovered. And water, he's also found that water has memory as well. I want to tell you something, too, for those interested in UFOs. When I was with Scott in August of last year at Mount Shasta, in Mount Shasta, California, for a conference there, his friends from out of town in the UFOs did stop by, and people actually did see some ships. I know that they will be present as well for my conference, so if you're there, you might see a UFO hovering above the conference site. Other people coming to the conference will be Garnet Schulhauser, a famous Canadian psychic, who's the author of Dance of Heavenly Bliss, Carolyn White, a well-known chakra and aura healer, Teresa Carroll, who's a wonderful Seattle psychic, Alfred Labermont Weber, an international judge and UFO expert. And one of the things I like about Alfred, he's a wonderful man, lives up in Vancouver. He was President Jimmy Carter's UFO Disclosure Commission chairman back in 1977. But there was no UFO disclosure back then because George Bush refused to allow him to disclose anything. So eventually he was threatened. He moved to Mexico and now lives comfortably in Vancouver, Canada. He's an interesting man, and I think you'll like him. And, of course, we'll have Randy Kramer, who was part of the Secret American Space Program. He lived on Mars for 17 years and also spent some time on the dark side of the moon as well. He's a very interesting man. Michiko Hayashi will be there, the director of the wonderful Emoto Peace Project, and also a famous Japanese Hado therapist named Seiichiro Yoshinouchi. I hope I pronounced that correct. I like to call him just Yoshi for short. But Yoshi is a famous Japanese Hado therapist who will be demonstrating Hado machines during the conference. They'll be for sale during the conference as well. The conference website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. The first day's free. Friday's free. The cost for the other 2 days is just $197 with discounts for students and low income. And if you're interested in registering, please go to the website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793 or send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'm also looking for a couple of people to help who'd like to help volunteer to help me with the conference, who'd like to market the event. If you'd like to help, you'll get a free psychic reading and free admission to the conference. And if you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or please call me at 509-750-9793. One thing I wanted to tell you is that on Sunday, Yoshi will be demonstrating these wonderful hot dog machines. And if you'd like to sign up for a demonstration of that for your particular spiritual or physical problem or condition, the cost is $200. But it's a treatment. It's a diagnostic tool that's very, very unusual and very, very effective as well. So if you are interested, please just send me an email or give me a call. Last month on April 16th, I went with my friends from the Emoto office in Tokyo, and we did some wonderful water prayers of Fukushima for the children and people of Fukushima and the planet. And I know I've mentioned this before, but I'd like to continue our prayers. I'd like to send as much love and light to Fukushima and to the Emoto office and Peace Project as I can. They're doing wonderful work. And with this, I'd like to ask everyone who's listening today to say this short prayer. And while you're doing it, please send lots of love and light to the children and people of Fukushima. Please repeat after me. Water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. Two more times. Water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. When I was in Japan last month, there were also a series of major earthquakes around the Kyushu area in southern Japan. So I'm asking everyone to send love and light to the people who were affected by this tragic event. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program and supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. And with that, I want to thank everyone for their donations and support, especially Judith in California, Marie and Alan on Camino Island, who are now publishing the Emoto Peace Project children's books, and everyone around the world who have helped me raise consciousness and make this planet a better place. I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including Orion Tech Computers in Bend, Oregon, the Tokeland Hotel in Tokeland, Washington, and the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma. We're looking for sponsors and advertisers for this show as well, and any advertising on the show will have a worldwide audience in over 70 countries for your goods and services. And I know with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a much better place. Finally, I'd also like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support, and my friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiro Emoto, Mrs. Emoto, and Dr. Yasu Nimoto of the Emoto Office and Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer, Eric, and my station manager, Eric Kramer, without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. Briefly, I've started a new spiritual mentoring program for those interested. I can help them get in touch with the other side and those who've passed on. If you're interested, please send me an email to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com, or I can be reached at 509-750-9793. And I have a toll-free number good in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I also have a new column on my webpage called Ask Ted. If you're interested in free spiritual advice, please go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on Ask Ted. We are supported entirely by donations, and if you'd like to donate anything today, I'll give you a brief psychic reading, and I'll send you a colored copy of a picture of an angel that appeared in the window of my airplane as I was flying across the Pacific to Tokyo last month. It's an amazing photo, and I think you really enjoy. I would like to mention just a couple of upcoming events very quickly. There's a wonderful mind, body, spirit healing conference in Kent that'll be happening starting actually today, later today, and going through the weekend. I will give out the location during the next hour, but it's a wonderful event, and if you are free, it's going on all day tomorrow on Saturday and all day on Sunday, and it starts, I believe, right after the show at about 5 or 6 p.m. On June 8th, 2016, Michiko Hayashi, the director of the Emoto Peace Project, will be giving a wonderful presentation and water ceremony at the Artesian Springs in downtown Olympia from 6 to 7 p.m. This is a very special ceremony that she'll be doing because she will also be dedicating a permanent memorial to Dr. Masaru Emoto's April 2010 visit to the Springs. The event is free. It's being sponsored by the City of Olympia, and I want to thank the City of Olympia so much for sponsoring this event. And I hope you can all come. There's no charge. We just want your love and light to come. Then from June 10th to 12th, I'll be having my second annual Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington. For more information about the conference, please go to www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And again, I'm looking for some people to help me volunteer with the marketing of the conference and also take care of just registering people at the conference. If you're interested, please call me at 509-750-9793. Or you can send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. 1 week from today, I'll be in Helsinki, Finland. I'll be at a conference called the Dreamers Conference. It's a fantastic opportunity if you are in Europe or would like to fly to Helsinki to meet some of the most world's most most interesting spiritual people. The website for the conference is www.dreamers.fi, and the cost is only about €60 or $65 a day. Among the people there will be Dr. Urban Laszlo, who's considered one of the world's most famous philosophers of science. He's written over 70 books. He's a fascinating man, as well as Professor Gerald Pollack, who will also be coming to my conference next month. 1 week from today, I also will be broadcasting live from Finland for the show with interviews of the people there. So this should be really interesting. Finally, in August, from August 12th to the 19th, I'll be attending the 41st annual IIIHS conference in Montreal, Canada. The website is www.oneness-in-spirit.org. They've got an incredible group of speakers, including Dr. Raymond Moody, who is probably considered one of the world's most famous near-death investigators. If you are in Montreal or Eastern Canada or the Eastern U.S., I strongly urge you to attend this conference. It's a wonderful opportunity to meet some wonderful people. Finally, in the Dominican Republic, from August 19th to the 21st, they're expecting an attendance of somewhere between 1,500 to 2,000 people. And they have an incredible lineup of presenters, including Roy Littleson as a Hopi spiritual guide, Victor Truvanio, who actually, I'm told, he doesn't eat anything. He lives off sunlight and the prana or life energy of the universe. Stuart Pierce, a master of voice in the world-renowned medium of angels. Braco from Croatia, who has the extraordinary ability to transform a conduit of energy that positively affects people in the audience. And, of course, Michiko Hayashi will be there, the Moto Peace Project. And they've got so many interesting people that if you are in the area or can make it down to the Dominican Republic at the end of August, please do attend. It's going to be a fantastic conference. Their website, if you'd like more information, is www.paxluxmundi.com, which means peace and light. And with that, I think I've talked enough today because Robbie is here, and she got stuck in traffic getting here, but she made it okay. And thank you to the traffic gods for bringing you here today. Thank you.
Exactly. I muscle tested my way here. Yeah.
Well, I told her to come to the tall building, and I think there's about four or five different tall buildings.
Yeah.
And it's easy. It's very easy to get lost.
Yeah.
So
you were right. I should have started yesterday. Yeah.
Well, we joked out yesterday because I said that if you started at 6 a.m. this morning, you probably get here on time.
I thought you were kidding. Yeah.
No. It's fine. Well, Robbie, I wanted to point out something. Whenever I have wonderful guests and the angels are here, my studio lights up. Can you see the air? See the light?
Yeah.
It's very nice. It's lit up. I mean, it's a beautiful day in Seattle, too, but it's also really lit up very nicely inside this studio. Well, let me go off. Your biography is about 20 pages long, but I'm going to cut it down just a couple of paragraphs, because if I talk about everything you've done, then we won't have time for the interview.
Let's keep it humble.
We'll keep it humble. You're an internationally respected speaker and intuitively guided practitioner of self-healing. You've won multiple awards. You've traveled widely teaching the powerful healing techniques and philosophies that you've practiced personally. One of the things that really makes me very interested in about what you have to say today, Robbie, is your background working with Australian Aborigines and their healing techniques.
It's a little unusual, yeah.
Well, I don't know if I think I told you this story, but this past weekend, I was cleaning out. Going through some old boxes of books, and one of the books that I ran into was a book on Australian Aborigines and healing, and their myths and their culture. And this was on Saturday and Sunday. And I said, I'd love to bring somebody who's familiar with the Australian Aborigines, but I don't know who to contact. And then so the days went on, of course. And then the other day, I still was thinking about. I had this I had some time on today's show. And then I get a psychic friend's email saying, recommending you, and your specialty was healing because you'd work with the Australian Aborigines. And I said, well, the universe gave me what I wanted, which was just amazing.
You're a very good manifester.
Thank you.
Here I am.
Thank you. Well, yesterday I have to tell you a little story, and maybe you'll pick up on something. I was working all day at this little coffee shop and working on the show. And I had some psychic friends who joined me for coffee. And our conversations usually are kind of out of this world. And anyway, they looked at me. One of them looked at me and said, "Ted, you've got a very tall entity standing next to you." And I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, he's dressed in a like he's got a samurai sword, and he looks like a warrior." And I knew instantaneously it was from an experience I had last November when I was in Tokyo and I visited a beautiful shrine called the Nitti Shrine. And I hope my memory is correct on all of this, but according to Japanese history, back in, I think the date was 1348 or 1349, to save his people, he literally parted the seas around this certain part of Japan so his people could escape to an island because they were being threatened by an invasion, by an invading force. Kind of like Moses with the Red Sea, making the sea part so they save his people. Well, he did the same thing there. And when I was there, I got the strong message from him that he wanted a show on Fukushima to continue my efforts directing people to help out the Moto Peace Project and Michiko Hayashi, who does wonderful work with the children and people of Fukushima and the children's books, and also to send lots of love and light to Fukushima. And he came through yesterday, and he said he was helping me. So I want to thank him for coming coming in yesterday. I really appreciate it. But
I'm sure he thanks you for what you're doing as well.
Well, you know, we're all in this together. We're all light workers, and we're all on the same page. You know, it's sometimes people will say to me, "Well, I'm only one person. What can I do?" Well, you know, John F. Kennedy was only one person, and look what he did.
Yeah.
Mahatma Gandhi was only one person, and look what he did. You know.
I think we're doing a lot more than we think we are. I think that the energies that you're bringing in and the pathways you're creating are making a big difference.
Well,
so,
yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be, I just added you to the Sunday schedule, so you're coming on to my Galactic Wisdom Conference. So
that is going to be an amazing conference.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I just can't
wait. You really know how to put on the party there.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, One thing, too, is that I don't have to get you a plane ticket from Edmonds.
please don't.
I could get you a plane ticket, sort of. And I don't know. I guess they fly into Olympia.
Yeah.
There is an airport.
Yeah, I could have used one today, but that's all right.
I'll tell you what. I'll get you a train ticket. How about that? Trains are nice. They're nice. The Amtrak station, for those who are arriving by Amtrak, is only maybe 10 minutes away from the venue, 5 or 10 minutes.
I am literally a couple blocks from the train station, so I'm going to think about this more seriously than you think.
Just come on down. It's only like $25 or $30
each
way.
It's a beautiful country, too.
It's very, very pretty. It's very, very pretty.
I'm excited.
Well, great. Well, great. Well, Robbie, tell me, how did you ever get interested in Australian tech? You and your husband were in Australia. And tell me, or how did you end up in Australia? Tell me
your life history
in 25 words or less.
I've already used up a few. It actually started with my late husband, Dr. Gary Holtz. Uh-huh. In 1994, I didn't know him at the time, he went into the outback to be healed. He was a quadriplegic from multiple sclerosis and pretty much paralyzed from the neck down. And he had been given the death sentence by his doctors. And so this scientist, this physicist, was looking for answers that were alternative and discovered that the remote outback Aborigines have remarkable healing gifts. And he actually, when he contacted one of them, they already knew he was coming. They'd known for 4 months, even though he had just learned about them the night before.
Really?
They're so tapped in. They're so tuned in. So he went into the outback in 94 in his wheelchair, kind of unloaded his cargo from the plains, and spent 10 days with this tribe, this remote Aboriginal tribe, and came out 10 days later with feeling in his body that he hadn't had in 7 years. And clumsily walking on that airplane.
Oh, my God.
And they asked him to take their healing secrets out into the world because we don't understand how healing works.
Oh, wow.
So
amazing.
That kind of got us on this. So we've since written the book about their healing, Secrets of Aboriginal Healing. And I understand that there's an old Aboriginal who has crossed over who's behind this book, which is probably why it's won awards and it's now in over 40 countries. He's very much involved in getting this information to people's hands because we don't really understand how healing works. And they've generously gave us their healing principles. And then I also healed myself of hepatitis C and fibromyalgia from a blood transfusion and experimental treatments that the doctors put me on. And it just put us both on this path of passionately teaching other people how to self-heal. the body wants to heal, and it's just that we're blocking it, and we've given our power away to a lot of what Western medicine believes.
I have to share this story with you. It's an amazing story, and I know you'll appreciate it. About a month ago, I had a gentleman named Zora from the Inner Earth. He's one of the high priestesses of Telos.
Yes.
An amazing man. And while I was on the air, he taught me a special way to energize food or water. You take your left hand and you take your thumb and your first finger and you make like a circle, like okay. And then your right hand, you cup it in kind of like an L and you link the two together. And then you say this prayer. And this works for practically anything. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Receive from the Supreme Being whatever help you need with, whether you need help, for example, with maybe completing a project, finding a sweetheart, maybe having a better marriage, whatever you want, maybe finding a better job. And he used it on my tinnitus. Now, I've had tinnitus ringing in my ears since early 1978 from a car accident. And when he did that, for the first time in many years, the ringing in my right ear, which is worse than the left, actually went way down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing. So I know it works. And a lot of the, I think a lot of the time we actually have the capability to heal ourselves.
Exactly.
But I would love to know more about how the Aborigines in Australia
sure.
use that.
Well, they'll tell you that anything can be healed if the body, mind, and spirit are all aligned, and
okay.
that they're all equally involved.
Okay.
And so Western medicine tends to address the physical, but you have to pay
right.
attention to what's the soul's involvement in this. Mm. Usually the soul is aligned with healing, except, you know, if children are born with certain things or we come in with certain disabilities, that's part of our soul's journey.
Right.
But the part that we're missing, Ted, is the emotional core. That's the piece that people are often missing. It's like, and I mentioned this before, it's like a dandelion. If you don't get to the root of it, it's just going to go right back again.
I
have people contact me who've had tumors removed numerous times, and they know there's something going on. They just don't don't know what the emotional root is. And that's
right.
what the Aborigines taught us, is that you've got to find out what the emotional core was that started it. Because it's kind of like if you have these, and Dr. Emoto beautifully showed us, if you have a negative or a fearful emotion, it creates a different cell, very discombobulated, and it's a lower frequency, and the body can't thrive in that. It's a perfect breeding ground for disease. So that's why you want to pay attention to what kind of thoughts are you marinating in on a regular basis, and that's really what kind of starts that blinking light on a dashboard, as an example. It's those emotional cores, and if you keep doing it and you don't stop it, now you've got a physical disease. That light is on all the time. So that's why you got to go back and figure out what was the emotional core that started it.
You know, that is just fascinating, just fascinating. During my next hour, I think you listened to this, you probably heard it, but I'm having on Michiko Hayashi, who's the ambassador and global director of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, and she'll be joined by a gentleman named Dr. Meir, short name, from Canada, a medical doctor. He lives over in the Toronto area, and he uses Hado machines as part of his quantum healing. So anyway, I thought you might enjoy listening in on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
I think you'd be fun. You're welcome to stay, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome to stay. Well, let me talk about your husband. So he had problems walking? Was he?
He was actually a paraplegic, a quadriplegic. So
wow.
he was in a wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
And he
wow.
really had about 6 months left to live, and the doctors didn't have anything for him. And so he went in, he'd heard about, now, the book Secrets of Aboriginal Healing talks about that, how he ran into a naturopathic physician from Australia who told
wow.
him about these remote tribes and how
wow.
they have remarkable healing gifts.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how he ended up out in the outback. And it totally transformed him. I mean, this was a scientist, black and white, doesn't exist if you can't prove it to me. And what that really shook up his world is that there's a lot of gray that you can't prove.
Right.
And he discovered that he had a solar angel, a guardian angel with him all the time. And
how beautiful.
He came back just transformed and spent the rest of his 12 years, continuing to promote their healing principles. So he got a doctorate degree in immunology so that he could practice what they taught. But, you know, it's psychoneuroimmunology. The Aborigines are way ahead of the game. It's quantum physics. It's all this stuff we're just picking up on and discovering. Right. They've been doing it for 60,000 years.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Were these Aborigines that you lived with, were they near Ayers Rock or were they different
yes.
parts?
Okay. Yes, because wow. that's where the vortex is. Uluru, yes.
Uh-huh. Fascinating.
Same place, yeah.
Fascinating.
It's a huge vortex of energy. So I had the opportunity to go in. I was invited in 2008 to the women, the Aboriginal women started to, they wanted to start getting their ceremonies and their information out because it would help us. And so they wanted to invite other women from around the world. The men were opposed to it. They didn't really want their belief systems passed around. But the women won out. And so they invited about 20 women from around the world to participate in ceremonies with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't talk about the ceremonies, but I can tell you that some of the things I experienced were we created thunderstorms that were so powerful. They kept circling around the camp.
Wow.
And they said they hadn't seen storms like that in about 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So it was very amazing. The vibration, the frequency that they kept raising it to with these ceremonies. You know how you, Ted, you know that we're all connected.
Absolutely.
Intellectually. But mm-hmm. in those ceremonies, I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I could feel the love from Gaia. I could feel how we all melded together. It was pretty pretty amazing.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very cool experience.
Wow. Well, are you still in touch with your friends in Australia?
I suspect I'll be going back again. Mm-hmm. I've really pretty much devoted my life to teaching these healing principles to everybody. Mm-hmm. Since I healed myself of what they said was impossible to heal at the time. I'm just passionate about getting this information out so that people don't recognize that it's really the emotions that the body just can't handle anymore. They become toxic and they don't need mm-hmm. to be sick. They can heal
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really my passion. So I'm going around the world and teaching where they want me to teach. And I just follow the guidance from my team, my healing team.
Wonderful. Wonderful. For those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio, Ted Marr, with your host, with a wonderful healer named Ravi Holtz, whose specialty is Aboriginal healing techniques. Well, let's say someone walked into your office or called you up and said, I have depression, for mm-hmm. example. What would you recommend for that person? Kind of like a generic question, or you can pick any number of
right.
different illnesses if you like.
You know, and depression, that's a tough one because people are really immersed in it.
Mm-hmm.
And what people need to become aware of is paying attention to where are these thoughts coming from and not being so controlled by the mind, but starting to learn how to control that powerful mind instead.
Mm-hmm.
And paying attention to whose voice is behind these thought patterns that aren't serving you
right.
and what triggers them and start turning them around into more loving responses rather than the mind. Just, you know, I was raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. I have guilt as my default mode.
I was raised Catholic too. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it's there. We don't even know it's there.
Yeah, yeah.
So but guilt is one of the hardest things for the body. It's
sure.
really hard on it.
Sure.
So I have to be more conscious and aware of it and pay attention mm-hmm. to it and turn it around mm-hmm. as I can, one thought at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But most people come to me for physical challenges. They have something
okay.
they want to heal. So I would find out what it is they have. And then I would tune into my spirit team and find out what are their emotional cores. And then once they have that awareness, I teach them how to turn it around, how to shift that powerful mind so that they stop having those emotional cores. We have to weed that stuff out. It's not serving you on any level. It's time to go.
Well, if I may
yeah.
ask you a question.
Sure.
I have tinnitus in my ears.
Yeah.
Especially in the back right ear. I've had it since my head hit the steering wheel at 110 miles an hour.
Oh,
back
you overachiever, you.
Well, yeah, it was more than a bump on the head. Anyway, it ended up splitting my jaw in half, and they wired me back together pretty well. I look normal.
Yeah, I would have never guessed.
Thank you. I look normal. But at any rate, I've got the tinnitus from that, and they said there's a bunch of dead basilar cells in my right ear especially, which are always permanently bent, so I've got this loud ringing in my head.
Ooh.
So if I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, that's fine.
But,
put me on the spot.
Okay.
Ask me the hard questions.
I'm going to ask you this hard question.
Okay.
What would your guide say about what to do or what, who, what, when, what,
okay.
why, what to do about
okay,
this?
Sure.
So just curious.
Well, and I asked them the minute you said you had tinnitus if I was supposed to help, and they said, no, he needs to ask for help first. So
okay,
thank you for asking.
I'm asking for help.
Yeah, yeah.
Now.
Well, first of all, know that you needed to go through that experience. And I'm sure you've probably examined why that happened to you, because that's a major incident and there are no accidents, that quote unquote.
Right.
But the tinnitus doesn't need to stay. There are emotional cores behind the tinnitus. Mm. And that your body's aligned with healing and your soul is aligned with healing. The only thing missing is the emotional component, which is usually the case for most people.
Oh.
So, Ted, I am happy to let you know what those are when I have time to go home and meditate on it. And get some clarity.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, let's look at something like cancer, for example. Mm-hmm. And I remember that cancer often thrives not only in an acidic environment, but also it has a very low vibrational rate. Like
yes, exactly.
And I went to an alternative health fair in 1996 in Arizona. I'll never forget this. And there was a doctor there, and he was recommending rose oil, pure rose oil, to treat skin cancer. And what he said was very interesting. I'll never forget what he said. He said roses vibrate at 200 hertz per second. And so the cycle is very, very high. And so when you take the rose oil and you put it on like a skin cancer topical lesion, that's carcinogenic, it often will kill off the cancer, because the cancer cells themselves exist in a very low vibration.
Exactly.
And they can't listen. They can't do in that high vibration state. And this goes into the hot oil machines too, because Dr. Moto theorized, and I think he was correct, that everything is hot oil. Everything is vibration.
Exactly.
So if you correct the vibration in the person's body, then you're going to correct that condition, whatever that is.
Exactly.
So it's all linked.
Exactly. And that's why these emotions that are love-based have a high frequency to them. So you're creating a cell, and Dr. Emoto showed us, they look like beautiful snowflakes. It's a higher vibrational cell, which creates a vibrant state in the body, and disease can't sustain in that high vibration.
Mm-hmm.
But these emotions that people are unconsciously creating quite often, fear, anxiety, negativity, criticism, judgment, those are creating low vibration, almost stagnant environment, because they don't hold much light. They're very dense and compact.
True.
And they're sticky and gunky. So it makes it hard for the life force and the chakras to all work effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why you want to stop those thoughts, those emotions that are creating those low vibrational states, and start focusing and switching that powerful mind more to gratitude, which has a huge healing response on the body.
Gratitude. That's
how
amazing.
How simple.
Because that's what they talk about all the time in the Emoto office, are two things, love and gratitude.
Yeah.
And love and gratitude created some of the most beautiful crystals that Dr. Emoto did.
Yes. High frequency.
High frequency.
Yeah.
Of course, with love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you start having more patience, more compassion, more gratitude in your life. And so your body, that cancer, is just a messenger. It's letting you know, especially when you have if you have an autoimmune system disease, that means you've got a lot of fear rampant throughout your whole system.
Mm-hmm.
If you have cancer in the heart area, the breast area, that's where we tend to hold grief. So chances are you have a lot of unresolved issues, a lot of grief that you have not released.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is blocking things up and obstructing that body from healing itself.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where you have to have an awareness of what are the emotions behind this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, when I hear you fight the cancer, you don't fight the cancer. The cancer is a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
It's letting you know you've got some emotions that aren't serving you, that are actually creating some toxic situations. Let's find out what they are. And I love how the Aborigines are like, no criticism, so you blocked energy. That's okay.
Wow.
Now let's just turn it around.
Wow. That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I have to thank you so much for coming on today, because I've been wanting someone like you for actually a long time.
You're the manifester.
And I visualized it this weekend, and boom, I get this email out of the blue. And this friend Jerry said, Ted, you've got to check out Robbie Holtz. She used to live with the Aborigines, and she's does their healing techniques. And I thought, oh my God, I must be dreaming or something. That's what I wanted.
Well, I didn't actually live with the Aborigines. Gary spent only 10 days, and I was only there for a short time too.
Okay.
They're very remote. They invited us to come in and experience their world for a little bit. And I have to say, it's a very harsh world. It's a tough existence. I can't believe they live out there. Month of the year, it's always hits 100. It's tough.
Robbie, I have to ask you this question.
Yes, me anything you want.
There have been people who've studied like different societies around the world in terms of a happiness index.
Mm-hmm.
Denmark, for example, for my friends in Denmark listening today, is supposed to be one of the happiest countries in the world. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know where the U.S. stands, but in terms of happiness, how does your yeah. Aboriginal friends rank in happiness? I mean, they're probably very poor. They have a very tough existence. Are they happy?
I love that you asked that question.
Okay.
They live in what I think is the fifth dimensional existence.
Okay.
They have so much love, so much gratitude. They feel sorry for us because they think we have very chaotic lives, which I would agree. Driving here today, it was just so clear. This is crazy.
You should have seen my morning.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're very, very happy because mm-hmm. they're in this higher vibrational love
nice.
And service. But you have to remember, they spend most of their time tuned into this higher consciousness. Very little of it. They feel like we don't really use our subconscious minds. They're out creating this reality. They've never lost that connection. And when we started speaking out loud is when we lost that connection to the earth and losing alignment. You know, it's kind of like when we see birds flying in flocks, how they're in this beautiful alignment.
Right, exactly.
And the Aborigines feel that they've always stayed in alignment with Gaia.
Mm.
And that mm-hmm. we have sort of stepped out of that alignment.
Wow.
And that's why we're so disconnected. And so they've stayed in that alignment, and they have tremendous love for the land and their ancestors. They're very, very happy. It's not harsh to them.
I want
this
to...
This would be harsh to them. Yeah. Don't put me in traffic.
Driving from Seattle to Tacoma on Interstate 5, that's harsh. It
can be harsh. It's harsh, yeah.
Unless you drive at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and then there's the only people on the roads are drunks and police. But anyway,
yeah, it's a different harsh.
It's a different harshness. Different harshness. At the conference in Olympia on June 10, 11, and 12,
yeah.
I wanted to introduce you to a gentleman named Garnet Schildhauser. He's a fascinating medium and psychic. Lives up in British Columbia. He's coming down for the conference. He wrote a wonderful book called The Dance of Heavenly Bliss.
Wow.
And he's a medium, and he's talked to Gaia. He's had long conversations with planet Earth.
Yeah.
And if you've talked to Gaia, obviously his friends are your friends and your friends are his friends. And I'd like to see the kind of conversation you have on healing the planet. I think it'd be very interesting because he's coming. He used to be a corporate lawyer up in Calgary, Alberta,
yeah.
for so many years. And then in 2007, he goes out on a lunch break and he's walking. And this homeless man with bright, sparkling blue eyes catches his eye. And he decides to sit down. He approaches him. And make a long story short, they get to know each other, and he turns out to be his guardian angel. And he presented himself as a homeless man, including somebody who didn't smell very nice, to show him to look beneath the surface, mm-hmm. I think, that this was his guide from God on his sole purpose to raise consciousness.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful man, and he'll be there. He's got some wonderful books he'll be having for sale as well. But I know you'll really enjoy meeting him.
Well, you know what comes to mind is I had the opportunity 2 summers ago to be with indigenous cultures from all over the world, mm-hmm. all kinds of indigenous cultures gathered in Montana to help heal the planet. And it was
nice.
Fascinating hearing them talk about, they're so tuned in, like the Mamos from Colombia, the mountains. They go in caves for like 21 years to develop these skills to communicate to spirit. And they hear the
wow.
mountains talking to each other.
Really?
And that these tribes, they all say the same thing. The trees are singing to us. And they're so grateful when we acknowledge them. And I remember talking to a radio host one time, and he said, I went up to a tree and I started communicating with it, and it was so grateful that I acknowledged it. This is what we've sort of lost when we started speaking out loud. That's a very primitive way to communicate. We can no longer hear them like we used to.
Oh, that's amazing. That's just amazing.
And this is what the Aborigines have, is they will communicate to the water, to the plants, to the tree, to their food source, and have a lot of respect for it and honor it. So I think this is beautiful, what we're doing for Fukushima. It's very much needed. Mm. And I love that opening prayer you had today. That's just beautiful.
Yeah, it's actually from Dr. Masaru Emoto's. It was his favorite prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based upon the Hawaiian prayer, actually, Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono.
You got it.
I hope I pronounced it correctly.
You got it. Yeah.
It's a beautiful prayer, and
yeah.
it does work. And he actually did... demonstrations with examining the water crystals, which were formed after that prayer. And it was pretty amazing, I have to tell you. I'm so sorry he's gone. He passed away.
He did a beautiful job, though, didn't he?
He did. But, you know, his his current, you know, Michiko Hayashi is a wonderful person. She's the head of the Moto Peace Project. They've got Hiromoto, his son, running the office now, and then they've got Dr. Yasuo Nemoto, their chief scientist. All wonderful people. Mrs. Emoto. They're carrying on the work, and they're doing a lot of important work to make this planet a much, much, much better place.
And I don't have any doubt Dr. Emoto is still working very hard, just from the other side.
Yeah, he's I've been in contact with him, and he's on the other side working with Pleiadian scientists on ways to clean up this.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened to Gary. He they told him a year before he would leave that he'd be passing because he could help more from the other side. So we were really upset about it initially, and then we finally realized, you know, if you can help more from the other side, then that's what needs to happen. But what I didn't expect, Ted, was that he would show up every morning after he had passed, every morning at 8 o'clock.
Really?
Yeah, he was a very punctual guy, and I wasn't. And so it was a joke between us to be married. And he'd show up at 8:00, not 8:01 and not 7:59, except one year when the time in the spring we had switched the clocks an hour. He was an hour off. But other than that, he'd show up every morning. And he still is very involved. He's part of my healing team.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So he's still very involved.
He's here today, by the way.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
No, he's here. Yeah, he's here. Yeah, he's here. He's very happy you're on.
He's probably dancing.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, he is very happy. Very happy.
Yeah, I just consider myself, like you, the ground crew. You know, I mean, we have this beautiful, immense help on the other side, and I'm kind of the human member of the team. I just go where they tell me to go.
Well, tell me, what have they told you about? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I always like to ask my guest, Robbie, about what do they see for the future? What do their spirit friends see for the future?
Oh, you know, that's a fascinating question. And I've been asking, and it's interesting what they'll tell you and what they won't tell you. And I think, you know, the window of opportunity is now. And that window is getting smaller. We're getting closer and closer to extinction. But, you know, I think that what everybody can do is, and I think this is where we're here to help add more joy, more love, more compassion, rather than adding more fear to the planet.
All right.
And if everybody can make life-affirming, compassionate choices, that's huge. I'm getting the sense that my grandson's generation is going to have a real challenging time. I think that there's a number of possibilities. We haven't closed any doors yet, but it's also probably one of the most astonishing times ever to hit this planet. And there are so many. It's the most crowded quadrant in the galaxy, watching what's going on.
Everyone's looking at Earth.
And they're helping.
Right now.
There's tremendous help.
There is tremendous help.
Yeah, so that's we have to pay attention to what am I adding to this.
Right, right. I don't get into doom and gloom on this program.
I don't either.
No.
No.
No, because I think we're co-creators with the Supreme Being who created all of this.
Exactly.
And creating a beautiful future. And it's a choice, actually.
Yes.
You know, if you really want a miserable, awful future, then you know, then if you think negatively, you can help create it. But I don't want that personally.
I'm totally with you. And I think that we are here deliberately to help envision that and co-create it and bring it in.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're doing. And I see people who coming in with really challenging lives where they have to learn higher levels of love or higher levels of acceptance. And it's part of that 100 monkey theory where you're contributing to the tipping point, contributing to the consciousness, the unified field.
Right.
And it's happening all over the planet.
Yeah, I agree totally. Absolutely.
We just don't hear it, Ted, as you know, because we are controlled deliberately through fear and overwhelm and hopelessness. And that's why I just don't buy into that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't play that.
Yeah. Well, the major media, I'm not going to list any, but most of the major media outlets here in the United States are pretty negative.
Yeah.
Pretty negative.
It pays their bills.
And there's another, of course, there's another late night talk radio. And they're often, I won't mention their name either, but I think you know who I am.
Yeah.
They're very, they've been around, started by Art Bell, and now it's owned by the Jeb Bush family. But anyway, they're often very negative about things. And they often have very good speakers on. They are actually pretty good speakers, but I don't like the negative slant. So I try to stay away from that if I can.
That's just where they are.
Yeah, just where they are.
Yeah, and we're here to create new pathways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing, and add new energies.
I have to tell you this story. It was back in 2014, the spring of 2014.
You have such a memory. It's amazing.
Thank you.
You could probably tell me what date if I really probed you.
It was back in, well, what had happened is that it was back in April 10th, actually, 2014. And I had I had heard reports that there was a huge radioactive plume of water coming from Fukushima. And it was bullseye Seattle, Vancouver, this mm-hmm. west coast here in San Francisco, Los Angeles. And so the state government and the federal government had shut down all the radiation monitoring stations. In Washington, they had. California was monitoring, Washington wasn't. And so neither President Obama had ordered all 8 radiation monitoring stations to be shut down. Oh, sure, their scientists were still, you know, drinking coffee, eating donuts, collecting their salaries, but the equipment wasn't being used at all. So I went out and I hired the University of Wisconsin Laboratory and also contacted California, where Governor Brown agreed to do all the testing I wanted to for free of the waters off of Washington. So I sent samples down to him at the University of Wisconsin. They tested it, and all the radiation had disappeared completely, just absolutely completely.
Yeah.
So I did a show on that, and I asked some local TV stations in Seattle if they would broadcast it. They said, Ted, negativity sells. If there's a car accident on the freeway here, we'll report on that.
Yeah.
And we'll give that first priority over radiation disappearing. I said, you're kidding me. He said, no, because negativity sells.
Yeah.
And I started arguing with him, but I got nowhere. They never did run a story on it.
No.
But what was interesting is Governor Brown did issue a press release on June 1st, 2014, saying that all the radiation disappeared off the California coast, and it's still gone.
Yeah.
Which was just amazing.
I think we're incredibly powerful.
Absolutely.
We have to, and that's why it's so important what you're focused on. And mm-hmm. because you're creating it.
That's true. And
we really do make a difference.
That's true. We do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And here's something else. There is tremendous help on the other side of the veil available to us, but we have to ask. It's a free will planet. So simply asking for assistance, whether it's to help heal the waters, whether it's to help heal your body, asking is so important. And there are millions of unemployed angels, so to speak. So they need to be, I'm sure they're ready to go to work.
Oh, that's precious.
They want to help. And, you know, they actually grow it by being of service, because they're being in service out of love. So it's about letting them assist, but they have to be invited. So I'm a big, big fan of asking for help, asking them to help you turn those emotional components around, turn that physical body into a healthy body, and turn this planet into a beautiful place of harmony and peace and love.
Well, the quote that you just gave me for the unemployed angels is so beautiful, because there's a lot of people that need help out there, and I think the simplest thing, of course, is to simply ask for it.
Exactly. You know where I got that quote?
No.
We're doing a third book on how to work with your angels and guides, because uh-huh. it's so needed, and that's what my team wants me to do.
Uh-huh.
And so we've been doing research, and I read this book called Angels in My Hair. What mm-hmm. a great title.
Uh-huh.
And it's a woman from Ireland who's been able to see angels since she was 2 years old.
Really?
And so she sees angels wrapping their wings around people, comforting them, sending them energy, whispering in their ears. And she said she sees millions of unemployed angels waiting to be asked to help. So that kind of woke me up to, I should be asking for more. And I was really asking on my way here today. Traffic was bad. And I made it actually probably better than most people.
Well, I want to share something very special with you. This is a picture of an angel that I photographed on my flight.
I love that you said that earlier.
Yeah, coming over the Pacific. And something told me, it was the middle of the night, and I could see out over the Pacific, and it was all these clouds and everything. It was a beautiful moonlit night. And there was no other indication there was anything there, but I got a message to take a picture. So I did, and that's actually on my website. If you go to www.outofthisworld1150.com, and you look at Ask Ted. There's a little blog there I wrote a couple of weeks ago, and there's a picture of the angel there. But I'll get it out for you now. It's it showed up. There it is. Here. There it is. There. I'll show it to you. See it? Isn't that amazing?
That's very, very cool.
Yeah, you can see
that's
the wings
beautiful.
There. Yeah, it's beautiful. You can see wings, and then there's a angelic glow around it. There's this blue light. And there's also pink light as well, which is a light of love around it as well. So,
you know, and if we could see this, if we could see all the angels around us and all the help we have, I think we would lose our doubts and our fears and know mm-hmm. that everybody has one angel with them constantly from the first breath to the last.
Well, I want to tell you something very special. There's a friend of mine who has some incredibly wonderful night vision goggles. and they magnify the night light by 50,000 times.
You have interesting friends.
My friends are from other dimensions.
I know. Those are the best.
But what I'm going to do is ask him to bring his night vision goggles to the conference in Olympia, June 10, 11, and 12. And one of those nights, we're going to do some, we're going to be looking up into the sky for angels and orbs. I've seen angels actually in his night vision goggles. And I've seen the angels flying around. I've seen orbs flying around. I mean, after you pass away, you basically become a spirit.
Yes.
And there's all kinds of spirit orbs out there. What was amazing. I went down to James Gillian's ranch last year, and they brought these night vision goggles there. And you could see animals, faces of animals, faces of people inside these orbs. They were just blown around everywhere.
Wow.
Just everywhere.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was.
For a couple of years, I went to the Fairy Congress that they hold.
Yeah.
And everybody loves to share their photos, and you see hundreds of orbs.
Wow.
Hundreds of orbs. It's just loaded. It's all these fairies dancing around having fun.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. I was invited there last year, but then I couldn't make it. I wanted to go.
Yeah, it's a great time. Uh-huh. It's a great time. Anytime you can go play with fairies and everybody else who shows up from all over the world has the same interest, it's a good group. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. That's great. Well, what kinds of things are you working on now, by the way?
Well, we are working on that third book about how to access help from the other side, because I think most people don't know that you have to ask.
Uh-huh.
It's a free will planet. There's nothing wrong with pain and struggle, but they love helping. It's a big game changer.
Well, let's do this. Let's do this now,
okay,
if we may. Let's ask them for their help to clean up Fukushima and to send lots of love and light to the people and children of Fukushima, the Moto Peace Project, and the people of Japan.
Yes, let's do that. We're the bridge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just ask
them. Great idea.
I did that before with the prayer, but let's just do it now. And while we're asking, let's send lots of love and light over there, too, because they really need it.
Yeah, and thank you. Thanks for that. Yeah. And, you know, they respond every single time.
Wow.
Every single time. It's just they're going to respond in the highest and best good of all, but they respond every single time.
Well, to them, in Japanese, I'd like to say arigato gozaimasu, which means thank you very much.
Beautiful.
Yes. Yes, it's early in the morning there now. It's about almost 7 o'clock in the morning. So... But that's we're powerful spiritual creatures, and we can make this world a much better place.
We are making this world a much better place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make the news, but it's happening.
Yeah, that's right.
And you and I get to meet people and see that it is taking place, because we meet people from all over the world, and it's happening.
That's true.
We have so much help.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And with that, I want to say this especially for my friends in Europe and across Scandinavia, and perhaps in Germany or Poland or Russia even. If you can make it to Helsinki, on May 14th and 15th, please come to the Dreamers Conference. It's www.dreamers.fi. And it's a very reasonable charge of only 60 euros a day, and you'll meet some incredibly interesting people, including Professor Irvin Laszlo, Professor Jerry Pollock, and some wonderful people. And Scott Lemuriel will be there, author of The Save Race Agenda. And we'll be discussions and the presentations will be on how to make this world a better place. And it's about 20 kilometers from the airport. And if you need more information, just send me an email to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com. But it's coming right up. It'll be just after next weekend, actually, when it starts.
It sounds like a great conference.
Oh, absolutely. And then we've got the Peace and Light Conference in the Dominican Republic. They're expecting up to 2,000 people appearing there.
That's going to be an amazing conference.
And Bratz, there's some incredible people there that are coming. That one gentleman lives off, he hasn't eaten in 7 years.
I've heard about those people. I've never met any of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's on a long-term diet. But it's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing to that someone like that.
Yeah. I haven't figured that out yet. I'm still working on it. I think I got a ways to go.
No, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine. We're coming close to the hour, in the end of the hour here, and I just want to thank you so much, Robbie, for coming on today. We've got about a minute left, and our next guest for the next hour will be Michiko Hayashi and Dr. Mir, coming to us live from the Toronto, Canada area. on their HADA machines. And Robbie, if you want to stay for the second hour and listen in and maybe say something,
I'd love to, but I've got another appointment I've got to get to. So,
oh, okay.
It would be so much more fun to be here. I guarantee that.
That's fine. That's fine.
But I will listen from my car radio. How's that?
That's fine. That's fine.
Thank you so much. It's been really fun, Ted.
Well, I really appreciate you coming today, and you've really made this program very special. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Please stay tuned to our next hour, friends.